Hello, everyone. I'm Barbara Eadie, author of Sparking Change Around the Globe, 5 Ways to Make Your Difference in the World. And today I'm speaking with Ocean Robbins, someone who's not only making a difference in the world, but who's building a global movement. Ocean Robbins is the co-founder and CEO of the Food Revolution Network, an organization which is mobilizing more than 100,000 members for healthy, sustainable, humane, and delicious food. Ocean serves as an adjunct professor in Chapman University's Peace Studies Department and is also the co-author with his father and colleague, John Robbins, of Voices of the Food Revolution. You can heal your body and your world with food. When he was just 16, Ocean co-founded Youth for Environmental Sanity, also known as YES, and he directed that nonprofit organization for 20 years. He's spoken in person to more than 200,000 people and facilitated hundreds of gatherings around the world for leaders from more than 65 nations. His many awards include the Freedom's Flame Award, the National Jefferson Award for Outstanding Public Service, and the Harmon Wilkinson Award for Distinguished Contribution to the Humanities and Social Sciences. Ocean is also the father of special needs twins, born in 2001, and is a spokesperson for a relationship-centered approach to autism treatment. You can learn more about Ocean and his work at oceanrobbins.com or at www.foodrevolution.org. Well, welcome, Ocean. That's quite a bio.
I'm so glad to be with you.
You're such an inspiring person and quite the amazing achiever in the world. Speaking to you today, I've written one book about leaders of transformation making their difference in the world, and now I'm working on a bigger project, and your name came up through an association I have with Ryan Eliason, who I know you know well, and I just thought you would be the perfect person to talk about how to build a global movement and really lead change. So my first question for you is, you organized a peace rally at the young age of 7, co-founded a nonprofit organization at 16, and now are creating this global movement with the Food Revolution Network. I just want to know what's inspired you from such a young age to truly go out and change the world.
Well, I grew up in a pretty unusual family. My grandfather founded Baskin-Robbins Ice Cream Company. My dad was groomed from early childhood to one day join in running the family company. He grew up with an ice cream cone-shaped swimming pool in the backyard and 31 flavors of ice cream in the freezer at all times. But as he came of age, he realized that he had a different calling in life than to sell ice cream and invent a 30-second flavor. He wanted to contribute to health, and he wanted to contribute to a healthy planet. So he ended up walking away from Baskin-Robbins and any access to the family wealth to follow his own rocky road and become a spokesperson for health and sustainability and healthy food choices. So I grew up with a lot of gratitude for my father's integrity, being inspired by his example, and also in a family where we talked about things that mattered. Around the dinner table, we'd talk about the state of the world. When I was 8 years old, we were talking about the arms race, and we didn't just talk. I grew up in a family where when you're concerned about something, you do something about it. So I heard about the arms race. I was concerned. I organized a peace rally in my elementary school. A little later in my life, I was concerned about the Soviet-American crisis and the nuclear threat and the fact that we had 10,000 nuclear weapons pointed at each other. And so at the age of 14, I traveled to Russia for a peace summit with Soviets and American youth coming together. And so I think from an early age, I knew that life was about more than just material success and more than just ourselves, that ultimately our happiness is interconnected with the whole web of life and all life on this planet. And I also felt inspired to make a difference. And that's why when I was 16, I founded a nonprofit organization called Youth for Environmental Sanity, or YES, which was about helping young people to mobilize for positive action, healthy food, and a healthy planet.
Right, right. So all those things. And so as you said, from an early age, you were inspired not to just talk about what mattered in the world, but to actually take action. So from there, what inspired you then to create the Food Revolution Network, your latest?
Well, after 20 years of directing YES, I had worked with more than 650,000 people in 65 countries. And one thing I kept seeing was that everybody eats, and that what we eat has startling implications to our own health and also to the future of our planet. And so I realized that I wanted to really focus there because I felt that food was a point of leverage where we could have huge impact. And my dad has been in this field for decades. He's the best-selling author of Diet for New America and many other books. But as of 2 years ago, he didn't have a significant online platform. And, you know, he didn't have a big Facebook page or Twitter following or email list. And I felt that his work could reach a lot more people if we could build a base for it. So I decided to join forces with him in launching the Food Revolution Network. And our first project was to interview a lot of my dad's friends, the folks who are real leaders in the food revolutionary movement, people working for food education and for healthier food systems and working to change food policy and food politics and working to create... Hello, Barb? Hello, Barb, are you there? Okay, I'll just hang out here for a little bit and see what happens. still. Hello?
Barbara Edie. Ocean, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm sorry. You know, something fell off. I lost you at about 10 minutes into the call. And according to the console, you were still on the call, but I couldn't hear you. And I don't know. My phone just went, something happened. It dropped. I dropped the call. So I'm sorry. I don't know how long you were talking.
Okay.
Before
at a certain point, I couldn't hear you, so
I just asked about you and didn't
hear anything. So then I called in, and then it took a while to get back for some reason.
Right.
It wasn't letting me in.
Yeah, which is interesting because usually the service is so good. This is the first time that's happened. Anyway, great. We've reconnected. I'm now using my cell phone, so we'll go from there. But let's just continue. Do you have time? Do you have time
sure.
to continue?
Yep,
okay,
yep.
Perfect. So where I lost you was you were speaking about you've co-created the food revolution with your dad because he's so involved in this, and that
right.
it started off that you were interviewing other people and his colleagues also involved in the food industry or food policy and those sorts of things. So that's where we left off, or that's where
right.
I left off with you.
Yep. Okay.
So maybe we can pick up from there.
We interviewed 24 of, actually, over the last 2 years, we've interviewed 42 of the world's top leaders in movements for healthy, sustainable, humane, and conscious food for all, and brought those interviews out into the world through Food Revolution summits. And more than 100,000 people have participated in these summits. It's showing me that there is a huge passion for change. People are really hungry for change. People are sick of the status quo in our food systems, and for good reason. The dominant food system that we have today in the United States is producing food that is genetically engineered, pesticide and chemical contaminated, antibiotic and hormone-ridden food-like products that are often devoid of a lot of nutrients, that are full of chemicals, and that are more a product of the laboratory than of the farm. And so people are getting sick of this because we're also seeing epidemic rates of diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, stunning increases in rates of autism, digestive problems, food allergies. More and more people are living sick. We have huge portions of our population that are living with chronic disease, not the kind of stuff that you take a pill and you get better, but the kind of stuff you live with day in and day out and you just try to manage symptoms. So, you know, roughly 3/4 of our medical spending in the United States is going to treat chronic illness. And it's bankrupting our economy. It's 18% of our gross domestic product, which is more than 3 times the military budget in the United States. And we're paying a terrible price for this, and we don't have to. We can change it all.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the most significant results then in things like that, changing people's health, or what have you been able to achieve with the Food Revolution Network in terms of helping that situation or other results?
Well, we've inspired, you know, more than 100,000 people with vital information on the food
mm-hmm.
topics of our day. We've generated more than 80,000 signatures on a petition to Congress calling for the labeling of genetically engineered foods. We've contributed, I think, to a groundswell of awareness. In the last decade, we've seen a fourfold increase in sales of organic foods in the United States. We've seen almost a tenfold increase in the number of farmers markets and people participating in community-supported agriculture programs. We're seeing even changes in school food and school cafeterias. So we're part of a movement right now, which we call the Food Revolution, people that are transforming our food systems and reclaiming them and saying, you know, it doesn't make sense to feed our kids junk food and then for our whole society to be crippled by the unbelievable medical care costs of a enfeebled population. We need to change food policy so that we can have healthier people, and it just so happens that the same choices that are healthier for our bodies are also going to be healthier for our planet.
For the world, right,
yeah.
Of course. Great. So as someone who is initiating this huge social change, what do you think some of the most important attributes or practices are for successful leaders of social change? What does it take?
Well, if you want to be a social change leader, I think one of the first things that you need to realize is that to be a leader is to be a follower of your own star, your own conscience, your own values. And in a world where the norm is a kind of passivity and a kind of acceptance of a dominant status quo that many of us find toxic to our own values and dreams, to be a leader is to stand for something more, to live with conscience, to live with integrity, to live with values. And that can show up in any domain of life. I've chosen to work in the area of food, but earlier in my life I was focused a lot on the areas of peace or conflict resolution or bridge building across divides. I think you can focus in just about any place and find the capacity to bring genius and brilliance and beauty there. In any sector, in any company, in any institution, there is the opportunity to do things to a higher standard, to follow a higher calling, to bring something of your own values forth. And in every relationship, you have that opportunity as well. So I think leaders, more and more, are not going to be an elite few people who everyone follows. They're more and more going to be people who follow their own conscience and their own truth and their own path of highest service. And that's magnetic. That's compelling. But instead of following the leader, we all become ignited to our own leadership capacities by the leaders of the real leaders of our time.
Right, as you said, it becomes a movement. It as you said, it magnetizes other people to do the same. Brilliant. So speaking to that, so that's wonderful. As you said, everyone can be a leader in their own way, following their own values and consciousness. But in terms of taking things to a global level and a worldwide movement, do you have any insights or advice you could share for people who might want to be considering that themselves?
You mean in terms of the food movement, or do you mean in terms of just
transformation? Social transformation. Because as you said, you've done it in the peace world, you've done it in the environment, now food is more your focus. But just in general, what are some of the keys to creating a real movement?
I think that if we want to create a real movement, we have to, for one thing, be true to our own conscience. For another thing, we have to be willing to examine fiercely a lot of the widespread norms of our time. Albert Einstein said you can't solve a problem on the level that created it. You have to go to the next level of consciousness. And when we look at the world today, most of us could probably agree that there's some pretty big problems and that the world we live in isn't exactly the world that we'd like to live in. So if we want to create change, if we want to be change makers, then I think it behooves each of us to be willing to ask the tough questions and examine every aspect of life, and then be willing to create, as best we can, a new kind of culture, to walk our talk. Mahatma Gandhi said we must be the change we wish to see in the world. So the social change movements that I'm interested in are very much about living in integrity. You know, right now we have peace activists who get so angry they hit people over the head with their peace signs. We have environmentalists who run their bodies to the ground, you know, eating crap and working insane hours while they're working for sustainability. We have social justice organizers who talk about social justice but treat their own employees in ways that are degrading or sexist. And so I think that if we really want to create change, we do need to be willing to look beyond just winning the game, but changing the game. Changing the way the game is played and changing even the field that it's played on so that it happens in our own hearts and not just with finger pointing in the world out there. I think it takes all of it. And when we live with that kind of integrity, I think people can feel it. You know, integrity, leadership, congruency are potent forces, and when people can feel that, it's refreshing. We have a lot of politicians today who I think talk one thing and do something quite different. And people get pretty cynical in the presence of that. Ultimately, though, I think rather than blaming other people and being cynical about them, it's time we do the best we can to try to create something different ourselves. So the movements I'm interested in are broad. They're potent. They're something that each person can participate in. They're not something that just needs one leader. though I think there will be many leaders, there will be many voices, and personally, I don't need someone to be perfect to have a piece of the whole, so I'm interested in learning what I can from everybody who is contributing to the world I want to see.
Right.
And then as far as the food movement, I think we've got some pretty vested interests that are making a lot of money off of the dominant status quo, and it's going to take some real work to unseat them. But fortunately, we can do that partly through changing the way that our dollars flow. As we cease to fund with our own dollars the industries, the merchants of junk food and toxic health, we can begin to redirect those funds towards organic farmers and towards healthy foods that will help us thrive. And as we do so, availability of those things will increase, and therefore access will increase and prices will come down.
Right. So that's your vision for the Food Revolution Network, is it that all those things are going to change in terms of the choices people are making ultimately? We, as you said, we often vote with our dollars or who we elect, don't we? And that's one way to make the change.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Now, right, so that's how to, as you said, be the change, live with integrity, and make your own personal choices that are going to lead to making larger economic choices for others. What are some of the challenges you've had, Ocean? Can you speak to that, some of your biggest challenges in leading nonprofits and being an agent of change?
Well, I think everybody struggles with sustainability and how can you balance work and personal life. And I think that for me, I have 12-year-old twins, and they have autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a lot of special needs, and they also have a lot of special gifts. Caring for them and, frankly, being available to receive the gifts of being their father takes time and energy and a lot of it. And my wife and I have had to also realize that we have to prioritize time together because it won't just happen in the flow of our lives with all that we're each doing. So learning to take real time to focus on investing in my relationship with the love of my life has been a really important thing that I've sometimes had to discover the hard way. And then also taking time with my kids and then balancing it all so that I can also have time to sleep and nourish my body well and get exercise. It sometimes seems like there just aren't enough hours in the day for all the wonderful things I want to do. The best answer I've come up with on that is that I want to be fully alive, and I want to do the things that help me be fully alive, and I love my work, and I love caring for myself, and I love my children, and I love my beloved partner, and the more that I can be in a space of enjoying possibility, the happier I am. When I start to feel burdened and overwhelmed and like life is an unending series of obligations that I have to trudge through, then I'm not bringing my best self to any of it. And then rapidly things start to fall apart.
Right. Well, that's a great answer then. The way to live the best in the world is to do what makes you fully come alive. That's what energizes us all. Wonderful. Okay, I just have one last question. I am so curious to know, on a personal note, why your parents called you Ocean. What's your reason?
Well, the short answer is because they were hippies.
Okay. That's so great. I think it's a great name, by the way. You know, you're an ocean of possibility. You're an ocean of change. I mean, you've really embodied your name. Maybe they knew that. Anyway. I thought that was incredibly interesting and so fitting.
Right. Well, I think my parents would say that they wanted a name that was unique, and they wanted a name that captured something vast, and that they felt like I was going to be a bridge builder between continents, and so the name stuck for them.
There you go.
You know, I think each of us has an ocean of potential within us, that we have infinite possibility, and honestly, I think we become a bit stale when we think we have ourselves figured out.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that each of us is capable of far more than we realize. We don't even use 95% of our brain for the most part in our lives. And so we each are universes of potential. And to open more fully to our own aliveness, I think, liberates more of that potential.
Wonderful. That's a beautiful sentiment. I was going to ask you if you had any last words of wisdom or advice to share with others who want to make a difference, but I think maybe you just summed that up. Do you have anything else you'd like to add to that?
Well, I would add that that we live in perilous times and potent times, that we each have the potential to make an enormous contribution to this world. And I think one of the opportunities we have is to hear in the problems around us not another reason for despair and cynicism, but rather a reason why it's important that we're here on this earth. Because we each have the capacity to make an immense difference. As Marianne Williamson famously said, your greatest fear is not that you're inadequate, it's that you're powerful beyond measure.
Right.
So I think we are each tasked with stepping into our power and our gifts on behalf of what we love. And as we do, even take a small step towards our integrity and towards our values and dreams, we will find ourselves energized. We will find more joy, because a life lived with meaning and purpose is a much more fulfilling one.
Right. It's a life lived with joy. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Ocean. I so appreciate your time. And I'm just going to remind people again who listen to this interview, for more information about Ocean or the Food Revolution Network, you can go to www.oceanrobbins.com or www.foodrevolution.org. And also, I just want to say to people listening that there'll be more stories and insights from other leaders of transformation on my website at www.barbaraedy.com. And I look forward to connecting with people there. But once again, Ocean, I so appreciate your time and all the remarkable work you're doing in the world, and truly not just living in integrity, but creating a better planet. And yes, stepping into your power and encouraging others to do the same. So I just want to thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
For your time.
Okay.
Okay, take care, Ocean. Thank you again for the interview.
You too. Good luck with the book.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks.